Father God, we just pray, Lord, that it's all for Jesus. All that we do, all that we hope to be, all our plans, all our dreams, Lord, might be all for Jesus. Help us, Lord, to see the big picture in your plans in our lives and where you're taking us and what awaits us, Lord. What glory awaits us. And help us be good servants for you while we have time, while there is day, while there's light. Help us work, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk this morning about our rewards in heaven. You know that? You know we have rewards in heaven? Have you heard that? Have you ever received a reward? For example, for being a good student. Or, maybe, most improved. Extra effort or high achievement. Maybe you've baked some cakes and or put a flower arrangement in the show. Maybe made a banner. And maybe you got a reward for first place. How did it make you feel? I hear that the New South Wales government, this is hearsay, but other than the news, that must be right. Maybe they haven't voted it in yet. But they said they want to encourage good drivers and give them a reward. So next time, if this is true and it gets through, when you go to renew your licence and you haven't had a driving offence for the previous 5 years, you'll be rewarded by halving your fee. Hey, that sounds good. I'm just wondering what the catch is. I've just had a 5 year license, though, so it might be a while. I've probably already seen that before I get there. Anyway, little story. After a preacher died and went to heaven, he noticed that there was a Melbourne cab driver had received a higher place than he. He said, "I don't understand." He said to St. Peter, "I've devoted my entire life to my congregation. Our policy is to reward results," said St. Peter. Now, what happened, Reverend, whenever you gave a sermon? The minister admitted that some in the congregation fell asleep. "Exactly," said St. Peter. "And when people rode in this man's taxi, they not only stayed awake, they prayed." And I've been in that taxi. Not only that, I had to tell him where to go. I had to get the street directory out because he didn't know where we were going. Well, you know, I racked my memory bank. It's getting a bit faded, I think. But I can't remember any rewards that I received as a young person. Don't feel sad for me, but I just can't remember any. I'm not saying they're worth any. I just couldn't remember any to give you an illustration. But I've got plenty of memories for the opposite behaviour, which I'm not sharing. But I think in my day, and probably your day, that it was expected that people be good. It was just expected. And it was only, they were only motivated to reduce bad behaviour. Yes? I think that's right. So today, I want to look briefly at what the Bible says, because this is a big subject and I wished I'd had a lot more time to really delve into this, but I just want to look briefly at what the Bible says about rewards in heaven. But before I do that, I want to differentiate, that big word I'm using, I know, differentiate that word, make the difference between the rewards and the gift of salvation. I don't want you getting confused. Eternal life is a gift of God received by His sovereign choice and can't be earned. Full stop. If anything, it is a reward for Jesus, because He bought it at the cross with His blood. So maybe it's more like a purchase. But anyway, we might do well, as we study the scriptures, to check the context of verses to see if they are talking about salvation, or are they talking about fruit. It may eliminate some confusion on these areas. I want to give you an illustration of the story of the graduation gift. You may have heard this story. That's a good story, so I'll share it. A young man was getting ready to graduate from college. For many months, he had admired a beautiful sports car in a motors dealer's showroom. And knowing that his father could well afford it, he told him that was all he wanted. As graduation day approached, the young man awaited signs that his father had purchased the car. Finally, on the morning of his graduation, his father called him into his private study. His father told him how proud he was to have such a fine son, and told him how much he loved him. He handed his son a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious, but somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found a lovely leather-bound Bible with the young man's name embossed in gold. Angrily, he raised his voice to his father and said, "With all your money, you give me a Bible?" And stormed out of the house, leaving the Bible. Well, many years passed, and the young man was very successful in business. He had a beautiful home and a wonderful family, but realized his father was getting very old, and thought perhaps he should go to see him. He had not seen him since that graduation day. But before he could make arrangements, he received a telegraph telling him his father had passed away and willed all his possessions to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of the arrangements. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began to search through his father's important papers and saw the still new Bible, just as he had left it years ago. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7:11. "And if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give to those who ask him?" And as he read those words, a car key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with the dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he had desired. On the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." How many times have we missed God's blessings because they are not packaged as we expected? You have probably thought very little about heavenly rewards. I used to think that we would all be rewarded as believers, and that we would immediately take our crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet. And that would be that. I never really took the time to look deeply into what the scriptures teach about eternal rewards, and I certainly did not believe that eternal reward should motivate us to serve God. As I learned about eternal rewards, that God will bestow for faithful servant to him, I was blown away. This topic has already begun transforming my Christian life, and I believe will continue to do so. The rewards that God offers are truly outstanding. He offers us positions of authority in heaven, gold, silver, precious stones, clothing, and crowns, plural, for our service here on earth. I want to draw your attention to the fact that these are eternal rewards. We will have them forever. Those that lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever. You will be honored for all eternity for what you do for Christ right now. Moses prayed in Psalm 90 verse 17 that God would make the work of his hands permanent. That's what established means in that prayer. Moses was asking God to allow the work that he had done to matter forever. It did for Moses, and it will for you as well. So we're going to look at a couple of scriptures today about rewards and see what the Lord teaches us. The first one I want to look at is in Luke 19, 11 to 26. And it goes like this, and you know it well. By the way, a bit of background. The 10 minas is equivalent to 3 months' wages, so you could save at least $10,000. A lot of money. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, Jesus that is, a man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put the money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. By the way, just a footnote, these aren't the 10 servants, right? These are the subjects of the kingdom. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your mina has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. His master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and you reap what you did not sow. His master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I come back I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by,
take this mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he has already 10. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. What's this telling us? There's a lot in this story, but I just want to draw out the fruitfulness of that mina. Each slave got the same amount. Some slaves did more with what they were given. Some did nothing with what they were given. The authority or position they were given in heaven was in proportion to their work here on earth. God wants us to do the most we can with what he has given us. Am I a 10 minya Christian? Are you a 10 minya Christian? C.S. Lewis wrote, we are afraid that heaven is a bride, and that if we make it our goal, we shall no longer be disinterested. It is not so. Heaven offers nothing that a mercenary soul can desire. It is safe to tell the pure in heart that they shall see God, for only then the pure in heart want to. And from Swindle, in his book, The Weight of Glory, C.S. Lewis notes how believers often underestimate the full riches God has for his children. If we consider the staggering nature of rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday by the sea. We are far too easily pleased. And from Richard Baxter, it is a most lamentable thing to see most people spend their time and their energy for trifles, while God is cast aside. He who is all seems to them as nothing, and that which is nothing seems to them as good as all. It is lamentable indeed, knowing that God has set mankind in such a race where heaven or hell is the certain end, that they should sit down and loiter or run after the childish toys of the world, forgetting the prize they should run for. Were it but possible for one of us to see this business as the all-seeing God does, and see what most men and women in the world are interested in, and what they are doing every day, it would be the saddest sight imaginable. Oh, how we should marvel at their madness and lament at their self-delusion. If God had never told them what they were sent in the world to do, or what was before them in another world, then they would have been some excuse. But it is his sealed word, and they profess to believe it. I want to go on to Matthew 6 now, which talks about treasure in heaven. That's it, 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. I was reminded this morning that Alan, who lost his car, you know, how fickle our possessions are. How they can just go like that. And I don't know if you've ever been broken into your house and have stuff stolen. We've had that experience. It just all goes like that. So it's very temporal, isn't it? So God gives us a couple of clues here on what to do. He says, store up treasure in heaven. And he uses rewards to motivate us to serve him. Not that that should be needed, eh? You'll notice in those verses there, it says, do not store up for yourselves, but store up for yourselves, for yourselves, for yourselves. Those for yourselves teaches us that we do not have a communal sharing of resources in heaven. Store up for yourself. Yourself. It also teaches us that it is not wrong to want treasure in heaven for ourselves. It's not wrong. Our heart will be in heaven if that is where we are laying up treasure. Simple principle, is it not? There is no security in material things. They can be destroyed in an instant by the forces of nature, or stolen or lost. Do you want a good investment, which is not affected by the state of the economic times? The only investment not subject to loss is treasure in heaven. Send it on ahead. Thomas A. Kempis says these words, do not be worn out by the labours which you have undertaken for my sake. And do not let tribulation ever cast you down. Instead, let my promise strengthen and comfort you under every circumstance. I am well able to reward you above all measure and degree. You shall not toil here long, nor always be oppressed with griefs. A time will come when all labour and trouble will cease. Labour faithfully in my vineyard. I will be thy recompense. Life everlasting is worth all these conflicts and greater than these. Are not all plentiful labours to be endured for the sake of eternal life? Lift up your face therefore to heaven. Behold, I and all my saints with me, who in this world have great conflicts, are now comforted, now rejoicing, now secure, now at rest, and shall remain with me everlastingly in the kingdom of my Father. The last piece of scripture this morning I want to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 15. By the grace God has given to me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, Paul speaking here. And someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Their works, if anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their works will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. For if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, yet will be saved. Even though only as one escaping through the flames. So what do we learn from this? We must be careful how we build our lives. The fire of the Word of God will test the quality of our work. Work done for the glory of God will make it through the fire, and we will be rewarded for those works. Works of inferior quality will be burnt up, since they are like wood, hay and straw. We will suffer loss from those being burnt up. And even though we suffer loss for rewards, we will still, if we're a believer, go to heaven. I want to close with a poem from an unknown source, which goes like this. When I stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and he shows me his plan for me, the plan of my life as it might have been, had he had his way, and I see how I blocked in here and checked in there, and I would not yield my will, shall I see grief in my Saviour's eyes? Grief, though he loves me still. Oh, he would have made me rich, and I stand here poor, stripped of all but grace. While my memory runs like a haunted fiend down the paths I can't retrace, then my desolate heart will well nigh break. With tears that I cannot shed, I cover my face with my empty hands and bow my uncrowned head. No, Lord, of the years left to me, I yield them to thy hand. Take me, make me, mould me to the pattern thou hast planned. The scriptures teach that the happiness or blessedness of believers in a future life will be greater or less in the proportion to the services to Christ in this life. Those who love little, do little, and those who do little, enjoy less. Amen.